Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints. In this episode, I get a chance to talk to Tyler Harp from Harp Barbecue in Kansas City. This one is really interesting because it's sort of one of those journeys where you have a certain goal and you have a certain thing in mind that you think you want to do, and then the rug is pulled out from under you, and then you go on a different path, and it turns out that the new path, is the right path all along. If that makes any sense, it'll make sense after hearing his story. Tyler's such a great guy. He's so passionate about barbecue, and he's very deliberate in all the different things that he wants to learn and do and present to Kansas City, a craft-style barbecue, unlike anything that Kansas City has seen. It's an amalgamation of a lot of different things together, and we go about that journey. We talk about his relationship with Zach Parker from Scott's and the Whole Hog, and how much it's meant to him having that friendship, and also the friendships in the barbecue community, the people that he can text and talk to at different times to learn his craft and to get better, and people that have been on similar roads and are a little bit further ahead of him, like Matt Horn from Horn Barbecue in Oakland, is a little bit ahead of him, so he can talk to him. It's just, there's a lot of knowledge here. It's a long one, but you're gonna really enjoy it. And little teaser at the very end of this, Ryan Cooper from The Smoke Sheet, he's a barbecue tourist. He visited Harp Barbecue on Saturday, March 16th, and he filmed some footage. So at the very end of this, stick around. You'll get footage of his for opening day. And also, too, Tyler and I connected because we did the original interview in January, and there's been some exciting news with Crane Brewing Company, where he's going to be setting up shop every Saturday. And so we wanted to update it and make sure it's completely current. And so you'll have that part, and then you'll have the footage from Ryan, which was really great. And thank you so much. And speaking of The Smoke Sheet, this podcast is sponsored by The Smoke Sheet, which is a barbecue newsletter, a weekly newsletter at bbqnewsletter.com, started by Ryan Cooper, who is barbecue tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is NYC barbecue. The two of them have a wealth of knowledge. They've traveled around, gone to tons of barbecue places, and they're really, really into barbecue news and nerdy about it, and this newsletter is really detailed and so great. It has barbecue openings and closings and news about barbecue personalities and what's happening in the barbecue world. There's always stuff that I didn't know about. There's barbecue events, a list of upcoming barbecue events, so you can sign up for them and schedule hotels and airfare for those. There's a recipe of the week that's a great recipe, one that you're going to use, and then also there are links to the most recent podcasts and YouTube stuff on barbecue. It's chock full of information. It's bbqnewsletter.com, The Smoke Sheet, barbecue news worth consuming. And as I always say, if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. And I know for the podcast version, if you do subscribe, you can get all the back episodes because there's over 100 episodes, and I don't want you to miss out on some of these amazing, amazing people that I've spoken with, that I'm honored to have a chance to have chatted with. So please subscribe. Please comment below. Let me know what you're thinking of these. You can email me from my website. It's kevinsbbqjoints.com. And that website, too, has tons of links to all my podcasts, YouTube stuff, barbecue joint visits, butcher shop visits, lots of cool stuff. But enjoy this. How are you doing, Tyler?
I'm great. We're suffering through a miserable January here in Kansas City. It's gray, brown, gloomy, and slushy right now.
But that's the norm, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, this is kind of the harvest season, or, you know, when you can really, you know, get things rolling for when it gets warmed up. You know, we've been so busy working on the pits lately as well that we've got to kind of take a step back this month and focus on some stuff that was on the back burner because we were just so busy producing. But it's been really good for that. It's actually all this rain and snow and ice and everything we've been getting here. It's been a blessing in disguise because at first I was like dreading not being able to cook. We cook every weekend.
Nice.
And we've had to miss some this month, which I was really dreading, but it's actually turned out to be really good. We've been able to get some stuff done that needed to be addressed, and hopefully to keep this thing moving forward.
Well, you have some cool stuff coming up, and I want to talk about that. But I want to talk about, where did you grow up?
I grew up here in Kansas City, right on the east side. I grew up, my dad and his brother and their buddies were on the competition circuit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the competition scene in Kansas City here, it's massive. There's, you know, American Royal, there's the Lenexa Cook-Off Battle, there's tons of stuff going on here pretty much every weekend, and everywhere you go, you know, you run into people that compete. kind of with my journey, the two main questions I've always gotten were, do you compete? Which to this point, the answer has been no. And do you make your own sauce? Which until about 3 weeks ago, the answer was no. So people would always try to talk to me about barbecue, and I
Oh,
was
that's
kind of
funny.
doing my own thing. So it was, it's tough to strike up conversation with some people, but
But as a kid, would you linger around the cook-offs and stuff or the competition?
So that was my favorite childhood memories, really, was being there with my dad and my uncle, or being on a baseball field. I loved playing ball as a kid. And I was always around my dad. His job on the team was brisket. So the way they had
Oh.
their team aligned is every guy had his own protein. That way they weren't stepping on each other's toes
That makes
with,
sense.
what they were doing. So my dad's job was the brisket, and I pretty much just instantly gravitated towards it. I always loved brisket, always had. So yeah, they competed from the time I was around probably 7, pretty much until I started high school.
What was the name of their competition team?
They were Silver Bullet Barbecue,
Okay.
and they just, really did have a lot of fun. I don't think they won a grand championship. They did win a couple reserves, and they won some ribbons, but for them it was a camaraderie thing and get everybody together. And I love being around that, and I love playing ball. And they stopped cooking around the time I entered high school.
Okay.
Well, when I was 16, I began working for the Royals. So, not too long after they quit cooking, I started working for the Royals. So baseball was always kind of my first love. I always thought that, as a young, dumb, naive kid, that I was like, man, I got it made. I'm just going to work for the Royals forever. I thought this is what I love to do.
What do you do for the Royals?
So actually, I started out on the grounds crew.
Cool.
And then I had moved into the visitors clubhouse. I had a great boss, a great team around me then, and they had actually created a job for me in the engineering department for the winter time.
Okay.
So I was actually working there pretty much full time once I graduated high school. And I really just thought, man, this is it. I'm just going to work baseball the rest of my life. I truly loved it. I miss it to this day.
Being around baseball, like you forget how great it is, and then even going to a Dodger game,
Yeah.
go to Chavez Ravine, it's magical.
I haven't been out there, but I'm planning on making it soon. That one's I've been fortunate. I've got through working with the Royals and just through being a fan, I've got to go to quite a few stadiums.
Nice. That's a dream.
Yeah, and I need to get out to Los Angeles. But so I really just thought, being young and naive, I thought, psh, this is made. I'm gonna continue to work up for the Royals, and I'm gonna be around baseball for the rest of my life. When I was about 21, no, I was 20 years old. I started working when I was 16, so I've been there about 4 or 5 years. I did a stupid thing that, 20-year-olds do. I end up losing my job with the Royals, and that was really like a shocking. I'm still young. It was really just like, I don't know how to describe it. Almost just, an out-of-body experience. I didn't like know what was next or what I was gonna do, and so.
Because you had planned on it for so long.
Yeah, I just thought, well, I'm going to do this. And, that didn't work out. And I was working a job at the, once I got that all happened, I started working this job. And it wasn't a great job, but I kind of liked my boss. And I worked there for a little bit. Well, they ended up firing my boss on a Thursday evening.
Oh
And I come back on Friday, and they introduce, the guy that's going to be the new boss is set to take over Monday. Well, I didn't really want to work for that guy. So Friday, after they announced it on my lunch break, I went up the street to a grocery store here, and I met a guy in a meat market. A buddy of mine told me they were hiring like a week before.
Okay.
I filled out an application. He interviewed me and basically hired me on the spot and gave me a tour, and I never went back to that other job. I just called him and I said, I don't want to work for that guy. Like, I got a new job. I'm out. So I start working at this meat market when I'm 21 years old,
Nice.
and I worked for a man named Kent Bender, and that really changed the trajectory of what everything I was about to do. Kent was one of the hardest working men I've ever been around. He's the kind of guy that, didn't miss a day of work in 30 years. And
Was he a butcher?
yes, he was. He started out as a butcher, and he showed me so much stuff. He showed me how to not only run a successful business, but how to relate to not only your employees and your guest. He could relate to
That's
everybody.
important.
a very hard-working blue-collar guy, coincidentally a Royal season ticket holder. So he was always out there at the K, and he had actually kind of known me from when I was a ball boy and bat boy. He had seen me and stuff,
Oh,
and
cool.
he remembered me. But I kind of knew that that wasn't fully the route I was going to take in life. But I knew that what I was learning was very valuable to my life, whether it was the meat side of it, or him breaking down animals, or if it was more like just how to relate to people's side of it. So I worked with Kent for about 5 years, and then during that time, whenever we had meat that was going to expire or go bad, he would sell it to us for like 99 cents or 99 cents a pound, depending on what it was. So I was always bringing stuff home and cooking, cooking, cooking.
Just what direct heat cooking?
So my dad, actually, my father probably, I would have to imagine my father has one of the biggest collection of Weber kettles of anybody anywhere. I mean, it's massive. My dad, his passion is grilling, and cooking meat. So I get that from him. But he would always have Weber kettles for me and different things to cook on. And like I said, I wasn't making a lot of money there, but I was getting cheap meat and bringing it home and cooking it. So it was kind of like one of those things where I learned how to take stuff that maybe you wouldn't always order or buy at the store, but make it good.
That's great knowledge to have.
It was. And so I got to learn from Kent. He taught me a lot of stuff, just a lot of life lessons, how to work hard. And when I moved on from that, I kind of had something in my soul that said I wanted to open a restaurant one day, and I didn't know how or why or what. I really didn't, I could always cook, but I didn't have a lot of like culinary schools. So I went to work in a restaurant slash bar that was just opening. I got to be there from the beginning for 2.5 years, and that was a really good experience for me to see that from the ground up. I bartended, we did high volume. It was good for me to have, high volume experience of sales.
You have to get hands-on experience for that. You just have to get that.
To be in the industry, there's nothing you can compare to that. But that kind of ran its course, and I thought, well, this isn't exactly it either, but I know I'm not far off. So I started working at a steakhouse here in town,
Okay.
where, it was fine dining, and I worked there for 5 years, and I really enjoyed it. But it was funny because, so by this point, I'd worked there for about 4 or 5 years. I'm like 28, 29 years old, and then I had never felt as fulfilled as I did when I was working for the Royals. I always knew, I thought, man, how do I get that back? How do I get that fulfillment back? And I knew I wasn't quite there, so I ended up turning 30 years old. I had spent the better part of my 20s, trying to search for what I was going to do, kind of not knowing that I was already on a path to do what I wanted to do. So when I was 30 years old, I broke up with a girlfriend, and we'd been together the previous 4 years.
Okay.
That was kind of a dark spot in my life. I was 30. I'm now newly single. I'm not sure which way I'm going to go with this. I'm working in fine dining, where, as it's a party atmosphere, and people, and I love them, and I love the atmosphere. But I kind of knew that I was in a little bit of a dark spot at that time, and that it was going to go one or two ways. And
That's true.
I really didn't want to turn to the partying and the drugs every night, because I felt like, hey, I'm at a vulnerable spot. Let's just try to focus here. It's not easy. But so what I would do is I would come home. We were working evenings. We got off 10, 11 o'clock. And like I said, to stay away from drugs or alcohol, I would come home and I would cook chicken or ribs or pork chops, or kind of like I did back in my Hy-Vee days. I would just get off
Interesting.
and start cooking. And it was great for me. I'm kind of like studying psychology, and I'm kind of figuring out what I want to do with my life. I'm 30 years old. Like, why haven't I figured it out yet, kind of
Yeah, but
deal.
you assume that when you're younger that you would have everything figured out, and there are certain people for some reason that do, but most people don't.
And like me, I thought I had it figured out when I was like 17. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to work for the Royals and this and that. And as that doesn't always work out. So I knew, like I said, that I was destined to do something better. And I started kind of studying psychology a little bit too. And I came across this thing called Eulerian Destiny. And I had been working literally my entire 20s to try and figure out what I'm supposed to be doing. I had done a lot of traveling, I had seen a lot of things. And so I come across this Eulerian destiny deal, and it was like a Venn diagram of four different circles.
Okay.
It was like, what have you been around the last 25 years? What have you been around the last 10 years? What do you love to do, and what are you good at? And just what was in the middle of that for all of me, it was barbecue. It's like I've been around this my whole life. I really think I'm good at it. You know, I've always been around either cutting or serving meats or steak in one fashion
Yeah,
or
it sounds
another.
like a
So it was kind of like, man.
carnivore type lifestyle. Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy because I spent my whole 20s searching for what I was, you know, what my purpose was, and then come to find out it's what my dad and his brother showed me when I was six. You know, so it's just one of those things. It's like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, this all makes sense now. So like I said, that was kind of summer of 2016. And then to rewind just to one part of the story I skipped, when I was about 12 or 13, they had cooked a whole hog for a family member that was getting married. And
on a cinder block pit? Like, did they?
No, they cooked it in the ground.
Okay.
They did in the ground. And these guys, to me, were like the barbecue gods, you know. And this this hog, it didn't end up turning out very well. And my uncle, he had to go down to Gates, I believe, spend about $700 to come back and feed the party.
Oh, no.
And that just kind of really scarred me, seeing these guys that I viewed as the barbecue guys, you know, fail at something. Looking back at it, I think probably they just had a beer too many each, and you know, it was
got
one
the
of
timing
those type
right.
of deals. Right.
Yeah, I have a friend that, like, if he starts drinking anytime we're cooking or doing, I'm like, everything's going to be burnt. Everything's going to be messed
yeah.
up.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a lot of time, you know, a lot of people have a hard time grasping that concept, too, because we're like driveway cookers. It's me and my buddy Drew. He's here religiously every week cooking with me. And, you know, we love having people over. We love the aesthetic that it all gives it. But people are usually surprised when they come over and we're not drinking. But it's just like, no, this is what we want to do. You know, we're taking this seriously.
Very
we're
seriously. Trying. Yeah, the timing's, everything's important.
Right, and we're trying to push forward. So, yeah, when I was younger, I saw my dad and them fail on that hog. And for some reason, that was one of those things that was always just in the back of my head. Like, I had thought about that way more than I should have after that happened. It always was like something that would randomly pop up in my head. And
it's traumatic, and it's definitely, it's still part
yeah.
of you. Yeah.
Well, they had so much success, you know, in my eyes, they had a lot of success, and they made the best food. And so, you know, I eventually knew that I wanted to cook hogs one day. So now back to where we were in the summer of 16, when I'm coming home from cooking or coming home from work and cooking, well, my uncle, I think it was Daniel Vaughn, had wrote an article, and basically he said something unpleasant about Kansas City brisket or some.
I think I remember this, yeah.
And I mean, my dad was pissed off. My dad was fired up, and you know, he was livid about this. And so I think one of us decides between either my dad or my uncle. They said, well, hell, let's go eat their brisket then. Let's go see what they're offering. They're so much better than us. Let's go see what they're doing. So November of 16, we took our first guys trip to Texas. And I'll never forget, we're coming through. We drove down, and we were coming through Waco. And we stopped at this little place called Shops, which actually, as it turns out, I didn't know this at the time, but it's right down the street from Miller's Smokehouse.
Oh, interesting.
Who Millers have actually turned out, I mean, that's just a phenomenal place with phenomenal yeah. people. They do such a good product.
And they're like some of the best humans too, like just great people.
I went down to Millers a couple months ago with a buddy of mine, Ruben, who owns Caramello Tortillas. You're seeing a lot of those come across
yeah,
in the
yeah.
bar world now. And Ruben and I made a trip to Millers, and I don't think we opened a door. The whole time we were there, the hospitality from the start to end. And I've been several times, and Amadeo and his team, they're phenomenal with the product they put out and the hospitality and the environment, the atmosphere. I mean, they've got it down.
And it's
there.
Not just barbecue, like their barbecue is great, but
yeah, but they've got the desserts now.
Desserts and the coffee and
yeah. Yeah, so now they're firing on all cylinders. So that's been a great place for me to learn from.
So it's but, so am I thinking? So it's is Belton on the way to Waco, or is it?
Belton is
no, right below, right?
Yeah, I think it's just south of Waco.
Just south, yeah.
It's about an hour ish north of Austin.
Yeah,
Belton.
Yeah.
And so on our first trip to Texas, we stopped at this place called Shops, and they're just making, it was early in the morning. It was like 7 a.m. or 8 a.m., and we just got brisket breakfast burritos. And you know, it was okay and all that. But then I like come around to the side of the building and they have these direct pits. And I
Okay.
remember they had like sausages, and it's actually one of my first Instagram posts. This first trip to Texas is kind of when I started my Instagram. And but yeah, they were just cooking these sausages directly and putting coals under them with a shovel, and I just was like in awe of that. I hadn't really seen anybody in Kansas City cooking direct like that at, you know, like on a commercial level, and I was just literally blown away. And this place, you know, was just some place we'd stopped and seen on the highway and was like, okay, we'll go here. And you know, so I was really attracted to what they were doing in the process. So we leave there and we go to Law Barbecue.
Oh, gosh.
So that's my first real experience with Central Texas barbecue. And you know, we go through the line and we order, and there's a guy from Boston right behind us. He's in town for business, or he's like, you know, I heard about this place. And so my dad and uncle and I think we ordered a brisket, sausage, and some pork ribs, and we got the last of the sausage. But the guy behind us, the guy from Boston, he had ordered a beef rib and sat down next to us. So it was instantly like that Texas barbecue experience where we're already swapping plates, and this guy was a complete stranger, you know, that he wasn't from Texas, we weren't from Texas, and it was just,
How great is that?
yeah, so it was just one of those deals. And we leave La Barbecue and we go to Franklin's. We had pre-ordered a whole brisket. We kind of wanted to make sure we got Franklin's brisket, but we didn't know how we could navigate everything we wanted to do and stand in his line.
Okay. Which
So
is
if you
actually a
get,
smart way to do it.
yeah, if you get a whole brisket, you don't have to stand in the line. So we got a whole brisket, and I had only cooked a few briskets at this point in my life, so I really didn't know too much about what I was doing. My dad and my uncles probably honestly still knew more about brisket than I did. And when we get back to the hotel and we start carving this brisket from Franklin, and I mean, it was just, you know, so soft and so pillowy and so,
Yeah, that's a great description.
yeah. And so you know, I kind of cut some, but I hadn't cut a lot of brisket, so my dad and my uncle, I think, each cut a couple slices, and they're like, man, you know, this is really good. And so that was on a Friday. We had gotten down there, and then we ended up going to, I think, Lambert's downtown later that evening. And the next morning we woke up and we went to Snow's.
Snows, I was going to say.
And so this is the first time I'd ever met Clay. And we get there and, you know, I start talking with Clay, and they're also super nice
So
there. And
nice, too nice.
yeah, they're great folks. And Clay and I hit it off, and Clay had been cooking probably just over a year. I think he started like the spring before that fall we were there. So he was ahead of me for sure, but not so far ahead of me that he couldn't relate to like my questions and this and that. So there was a lot of times when we were cooking briskets and I would, you know, text Clay or say, hey, you know, what do you think of this or that? And
That's phenomenal.
yeah, just to have somebody like that, you know, be able to walk you through something, it gives you so much more confidence that, okay, I think we can do this. And you know, months later, the same thing, or maybe even a year later, the same thing happened. I was cooking beef ribs, and Brendan Lamb was walking me through that on Instagram,
That's great.
because you know, they crush beef ribs at La Barbecue, whereas he was at the time.
Yeah.
And he's kind of walking me through it, and I'm sending him pictures. And you know, just to have people like that, you know, help me out along my way, I'm so grateful for them.
Which is another reason why I love this barbecue community.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny the outlet that everybody, you know, has to communicate now. And Instagram has been such a powerful world in the barbecue, or tool in the barbecue world.
Yeah, like it's amazing how crazy it, yeah.
I had no clue when I signed up for my Instagram that all these guys in the South that are, you know, cooking barbecue are going to be on there. You know, I'm thinking in my head, like, okay, this is a young person's game. You know, this
Yeah.
is a lot of, you know, videos and stuff I don't care about. Okay, what am I doing on Instagram? But then it was just, you know, it was crazy to see who all was really on there and what they were
And
doing. And
most of my communication is with people on Instagram, which is funny.
yeah, and that's where you can see what people are doing. But yeah, so that was November of 16, or I'm sorry, October of 16, our first trip to Texas. After we leave snows. We end up going up to Louis Miller,
Oh,
and that
wow.
was,
What a trip.
yeah, that was the everything you could imagine it to be. And then we went from there. We went down to Southside Market and got some sausages there in Elgin. But their sausages are Elgin. I'm not sure how they pronounce
I think
that,
they
but
pronounce it Elgin. When I was living there was Elgin, I think. Yeah.
yeah, I knew I was saying it wrong all
I
along.
used to
And then
say Elgin, Myers Elgin Smokehouse, and it was or stops.
yeah,
Yeah.
Elgin. So yeah, no, but you know they do sausage down there in Elgin. And so that was on Saturday. On Sunday, we went down to Lockhart and we did, you know, Black's and Smitty's and Kreitz. And that was, I mean,
How
walking
crazy.
into Smitty's Market to me is like a religious experience
Oh
for
yeah.
anybody who likes barbecue. I mean, it was just like,
It's hard to believe that it looks like a movie set or like a Disneyland set or something.
yeah, you look at it and you're like, this can't be 2019.
No.
You know, like this is the things they're allowed to do down there and get
Yeah, like
away
you're walking
with.
right by fire.
Yeah, and you're like, man, a kid could just fall in there, and you know, it's unbelievable, but it gives you such an appreciation of the work that people have done for
For
such
sure.
a long time that goes into making barbecue that good. Their sausages at Smitty's are just, I mean, they do a lot of the things well, but to me, the sausages stand
So
out.
good.
And then you have City Market over there in Ewing, and yeah, that place is the same. It's
It's
just you just walk
beautiful.
in and you know they've got that pit room in the back corner, and those sausages are just, you know, absolutely to die for. I love them.
That's the one thing that I wish, like, would it be exported to Los Angeles? Because
Yeah,
I would eat Texas sausage 5 times a week easily.
it's so good, and it's hard to find bad sausage down there, really. Even I think since that trip, I think we've been back 5 times, so we obviously
Yeah.
are fans of what we've had.
So what was I'm curious, what was your dad and your uncle's reaction? Did they think, okay, well maybe Daniel Vaughn has a point, or do they
I
think
think
like, okay,
that
I get at least why he's proud of brisket from
yeah,
Texas?
I think it was more like, you know, he understood, we understood, like, man, they're really bringing it down here. And you know, I'm still proud, and I think a lot of people here are the barbecue that's in this city. You
Oh,
know,
for sure.
there's kind of two different scenes. You've really got your traditional, which is, you know, your Bryant's and your Rosedale's, your LC's, and you've got your competition with like your Q39 and Joe's. You know, it's just two different
It's
scenes
different.
here.
It's different in a
And
good
it's
way.
two different scenes in Texas too, you know. But Kansas City hasn't, you know, craft barbecue is so new. It's only 10 years old. With us being so entrenched in our roots and, you know, probably rightfully so, you know, that's just kind of how barbecue is. People are entrenched in their roots. I was fortunate when I was younger. I had really good parents, so very fortunate there, but I also had two sets of good grandparents as well. I'm so extremely fortunate. My
Wow, so fortunate.
grandmother on my mother's side, they lived in the south in the winter and they went north in the summer. And so my grandma would always fly me around, you know, to wherever they were to come visit. And when I was in 8th grade, I believe both my grandparents chipped in on a trip to send me to Europe
Wow.
when I was younger. So from, you know, all those experiences when I was young, I kind of had the ability to challenge the surroundings you grew up in, so to speak, are always kind of think, well, maybe there is a different way, you know. So I think all of that really, you know, came back to play a big role at where I'm at now, because you know we want to bring craft barbecue here to Kansas City, and I think there's enough of a scene here that all three can succeed, both the traditional, the competition, and the craft barbecue.
Well, so let's talk about what you're doing or how you even got started with that. Now, where did you get an offset at that
Yeah.
time in 2016, or was it 2017?
So in 2016, I was cooking on the back, in that summer, I was cooking on the backyard offset.
Okay.
Within 3 weeks of coming back from that first trip to Texas, I had a 150-gallon offset,
Oh, that's
which
funny.
wasn't huge, but it was enough to where I could cook about 6 briskets at a time,
That's
or,
good.
you know, 8 to 10 pork butts at a time. I mean, this smoker was. We bought it out in Topeka, Kansas, which is about an hour or so, maybe a little more than an hour west of where I live. And I mean, I don't even know how we got this thing home. I think there was like screws in the lug nuts, instead of actual lug nuts, and the thing was like just popping and bouncing the whole way down the highway. We paid $400 for this smoker, and I mean it was a terrible material. It was a terrible build. All of it was just bad. And I think the first weekend I fired it up, I made $300 on it. So I thought, well, I guess it could be worse, you know. I mean, at least we pretty much got most of our money back. So I kind of thought this one. I think, well, heck, this is easy. We'll just put food in here and cook every weekend and make money. And yeah, no, that's not exactly how it went at all.
It's never quite that way.
So I started with that. We started cooking briskets on that. The Super Bowl of 2017, 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, is when I'd say we really started trying to move things forward more because we had that smoker that we could cook more on now. So yeah, I think for that Super Bowl, I had catered like four or five Super Bowl parties. It was kind of crazy for
Wow.
somebody that had done nothing to now I have these all the different events I'm catering at once. So that was kind of the beginning of it. And then we just kept pushing through all kinds of bad weather, through all kinds of different challenges you get when you're trying to teach yourself how to cook with live fire and wood. You know, it's not easy. And so I really spent, you know, this time grinding at that to really just try and get my craft on a level where I think I can take a lot of pride in what I do to get it out on a higher basis. We never really went the pop-up route, and I was tempted, and I had so many good businesses offer for me to do
Well,
pop-up
I can
at their
imagine.
restaurant. But I really wanted to do it. There's so much good barbecue here in Kansas City. You know, there's like 80 different places. And I
Easily.
really just kind of felt like wherever we went or whatever we were going to do, that we were going to step on somebody's toes.
Okay.
And that was the last thing I wanted to do. And to be honest, we weren't having any trouble moving it out of the driveway. So that's what we did. I think that that's going to stop now. I think we're trying to take a different approach. We're getting really close to doing some other things we want to do with it. So I'm not sure how much more cooking in the driveway, if any, we'll do.
So do you still have that same pit?
I have it. It's not what I cook on anymore. I have a now I have a 375
Yeah, I thought it
gallon.
was a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's to me was a perfect size for what I needed, and it's going to be a really good road pit in the future. It's the same length as most 500s. It's less diameter,
Okay.
but for it to be, you know, more cost efficient, we could do our product what we wanted on it. And honestly, at the time, I wasn't sure that we needed to take on a bigger smoker. Now, maybe I wish I would have, but I guess you always got that fiscal responsibility somewhere in the back of your head
You
saying, well,
have to.
maybe
You
we should
could do
just.
it incrementally.
Yeah. So I cook on that right now. I think we're in the works of getting 1,000 gallon up here. You know, so we've basically really just cooked meats. We've done a lot of, we basically move whole briskets, whole pork butts, whole slabs, and sausage by the pound. And then we'll do, we've done a good amount of pastrami.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. I think I saw a photo, yeah.
Yeah, so that's one of those things in my 20s where I was kind of wandering lost around New York City at like 11 o'clock at night. I had no clue what I was doing. Still to this day, don't know what I was doing. And I just randomly walked into Katz's Deli, having no idea what the hell was going on.
That's a kind of a random fall, like it's on a weird, yeah, it's not something you just would
Yeah.
randomly fall into.
So, yeah. And it was late too. I mean, it was the middle of the summer and it was, you know, at least 11 o'clock. And I go in there and eat pastrami and leave. And for like the next year, I was always trying to get pastrami when I was back here in Kansas City, but I could never really get very good pastrami. So I kind of just gave up on it, and then I forgot about it. And then I think I want to say I had Russell Regal's pastrami at a festival one time. I was like, "Oh yeah, pastrami! We got to start doing that," because I'd completely forgot about it, even though I loved it so much from my visit to Katz's. But
Yeah, Russell puts out amazing pastrami.
yeah, they do. He, like I said, I've got to eat some of it. I haven't been to his restaurant yet, unfortunately, but I'm hoping to get a trip into Houston this year. We'll see. So.
You should let me know when you're going. I'd like to.
Yeah, no, the calendar's filling up quickly, which is a good thing. But yeah, so around November or you know, Super Bowl of 17, we start cooking more. I had never really, I'd always still been thinking about the whole hog thing, but I knew that it was a task that I needed or wanted some guidance with. So we keep cooking and keep cooking, and a year after our trip to Texas, now this is in October of 17, I was adding a lot of people in the barbecue world on Facebook, just anybody with a spatula in their hand. I was trying to be their friend, you know.
Whether if their name look or if they're connected.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And so Zach Parker's name had showed up in my Facebook on people you may know. And I had read the book, The One True Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always known that Zach was only, he's only about 7.5 hours from where I live. And I always knew I wanted to, I knew I wanted to go cook with him. And he pops up on my people you may know on Facebook. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to add him. And I didn't even, I was literally adding anyone and everyone, but I didn't add Zach. And like a couple days later, for whatever reason, I've still never asked him about this or why, but he actually added me.
Oh, wow.
And at the time, our only friend in common was Robert Lerma. So it wasn't like, you know, we had very many friends in common. Or so I thought it was weird. And so like some days went by and I text Zach and or I messaged him on Facebook and I just said, hey, you know, I'm really intrigued by what you do. I would love to learn about your craft. Do you mind if I come down for a day? And I don't know if he responded or not, but then I did it again and he kind of said, you know, yeah, I'm real busy right now. I'll get back with you here in a couple weeks. A couple weeks go by and I messaged him again and I said, hey, look, you know, I really want to do this. And he said, you know, I'm doing a catering right now. I'll get back to you Monday. Well, Monday comes. And of course, so like I told him Tuesday. I said, hey man, you know, I think me and a buddy are going to come down and we're just going to pass through and eat Friday. I said, you know, if I get a chance to say hi, then great. I said, if not, you know, I at least want to come eat your food. And so he texted me back and I think it said, be here at 7 a.m. or something like that. And so, you know, I showed up with my buddy Charlie at 7 a.m. and Zach came and shook my hand and he said, you know, I don't know how long you plan on staying or how long you want to be here, but if you know, however long you want to be here, I can probably show you some things.
Oh, that's so great.
And pretty much, you know, just from that instant on, him and I clicked and, you know, he's a few years younger than me, but he's been so gracious with everything he's taught me. And, you know, I had to teach myself brisket. You know, I had my dad and my uncle's guidance, but to get it where I wanted to do, I kind of taught myself with, some mentors far away helping, but to have Zach like go through with me from beginning to end on why you do everything with a hog, this is why you do that when you see this or hear this or smell that.
Invaluable.
Yeah, it's stuff that, you know, you could probably be cooking for 10 or 15 years and not realize some of the stuff he's explaining because, you know, he has been cooking that long.
Can you talk about his restaurant a little bit?
Yeah, so it's in Lexington, Tennessee. It's right halfway between Memphis and Nashville. It's, you know, it's very stapled in tradition. I believe it opened in 1962 by a gentleman named Early Scott. Early Scott was a man that, you know, he was from West Tennessee, and he kind of took in Ricky Parker around the time, I believe, Ricky Parker was in high school, give or take.
Okay.
That's Zach's dad. He had had some issues. Ricky did with his stepfather at the time. And so Early Scott ended up taking Ricky Parker in and putting him to work. And then, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s, Ricky had Zach and Matthew. And then he passed his skill down to Zach and Matthew. And then a few years back, I unfortunately never got to meet Ricky, but I know that Zach took over pretty much instantly when Ricky passed away. So,
and what is it like with the experience going there?
It's, to me, it's just, it's on the same level of going to Schmitty's or, you know, like Luling, to see those live fires. You just know that what they're doing, not a lot of folks are willing to do that work. You know, I got to go see it firsthand. I got to work with, Zach and his crew for the entire week of the 4th of July in 2018, at Scott's Barbecue. The 4th of July and that whole week is pretty much their busiest week of the year.
So crazy. That's so crazy.
Just to see the work that goes into that, the exhaustion, I mean, the sweat, the tear. I mean, it's crazy to show up at work for a shift at 6:30 in the morning you know you're not going to leave till 4:30, and by 6:33 you're covered from head to toe in sweat. I mean, seriously, it's
Yeah.
that
It takes a
crazy.
certain type of person to do that.
Yeah. You're literally just covered in sweat by 6:35 a.m. and you've got a whole day ahead of you. So, so much respect for what they've been able to do. I owe a big part of what I'm probably going to be able to accomplish to Zach Parker because he's taken me in. And, I think even more so than the nuances of smoking a hog, he showed me what it takes to just the work you have to put in and the sacrifice you have to make. And I still don't know that I fully understand that, but I'll probably learn. But I know that Zach has given me great insight to what it takes to be able to pull this off.
That's fabulous. And so how do you think that you'll be using, are you going to, so is the goal to have your own restaurant? I know that in, you said that sometime in a week or so, which this will be edited and aired after the news comes out, but you're going to be working at a, you're going to be working alongside a brewery. Is that what you're?
Yeah, I think we've pretty much come to an agreement with a brewery in principle. It's just a matter of, there's so much that goes into it, insurance-wise, and there's a lot of other things we have to figure out. So I almost hate to say for sure this is going to happen, but I feel really confident it's going to happen. And I've learned from other mentors and seeing other people, even at the very top of the game, say, this is our date, this is our plan, and then, that's not how it works, so I don't want to say for sure when or what we might be doing, but I feel confident that we're going to be somewhere operating 4 days a week by the summertime, or hopefully at least, middle summer for
Doing
sure.
like lunch and dinner service or just lunch service?
Yeah, the plan is we're probably going to open like early afternoon and just run it until we can sell out every day. The brewery that hopefully we go to, I think they've got a pretty big kind of after lunch type crowd.
Cool.
And it allows me to be close to where I want to be right now with the people that get my barbecue. And they're actually they got a lot of things in the works there where they want to expand, and I think it could be a really good partnership for both of us. So I think they feel the same way.
Can you have your, that's awesome. Can you have your offset there?
Yeah. We're gonna take the offset there. Hopefully the 1,000 gallon when we get it, we'll go there too. And then I want to do whole hogs too,
Yeah,
the
you're gonna
hog
build a
facility.
pit there?
Yeah. So we're doing a whole hog pit, hopefully. All this is kind of pending some stuff that has to get approved first. But that's the plan, is to do whole hog at least one day a week. Really kind of the way Kansas City barbecue has always been presented is that, we're the best of the different regions and the different styles, and we can do a lot of proteins and stuff. So I kind of just want to bring that to fruition and say, yeah, we're doing Texas brisket, we're doing West Tennessee, which to me, I like. It's more of like a confit style, cooked in its own fat, rendered slowly. I want to do West Tennessee whole hog. We'll probably do Kansas City ribs and burn-ins, and really try to pull from different angles.
That's so great. Are you going to, because you mentioned that you don't do sides now. Well, is that something you have to incorporate into your
Yeah, so we
plan?
do sides for our caterings. So we do beans, coleslaw, and cheesy corn. Hopefully we'll evolve. We're going to have to evolve on our skill set with that, but hopefully we'll also evolve with adding some more stuff. At the brewery, I don't. I'm kind of adding on to the kitchen there myself, and I don't want to do a lot of fried foods. I think it's going to be a hard sell in Kansas City because people love their French fries with their barbecue here.
That is sort of traditional, right? Like a Gates or
Yeah.
Brandt's, or
So
yeah.
we're going to have to make really, really good sides to make up for that. So that's what I say. And here in the meantime and in between time, I think we're going to scale back on trying to cook as much meat as possible and scale more into honing our sides. The good news is I've got such a good number of people in my index that I can talk to and have been in my situation
For
and
sure.
help. There's a lot of people I can't say enough about, so I've gotten a lot of help, and I think hopefully if everything works out, I'm going to go out in May and cook with Matt Horn. I know he's trying to do a
God,
lot of
yeah.
stuff.
And he's, how inspirational is he? It's just, there's just all these people that I What's interesting is to be honest, a few years ago I felt like we were like not like an apex, or it just felt like it was growing, and it continues to grow. And there's all these different people and personalities that are working hard and doing special things. Like it's
Yeah, just to see Matt's story, it rings close to what I do, and I would be lying if I said I'm not somewhat envious of Matt and the pop-ups and the success he's had with that. Hats off to him. I'm not sure what he's done would fly in Kansas City, so I've kind of just sat on my hands, more or less wishing I could do something like he has done. I've had to take a little bit of a different route than what he's doing, but it's been so great to connect with him and share the, have him share his experiences with me, because, he's ahead of where I'm at in the game too, but we're also still both trying to get our, full-time places launched.
For sure. Yeah, he's
And
not
so
there yet.
it's been him. I got to go down to Brett's backyard barbecue and cook a hog at his grand opening.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to see kind of firsthand that weekend from Brett, what exactly it takes to pull this off. And I mean, it was probably one of the best things that I've ever seen in my barbecue life so far, because I mean, I would have highly underestimated what it really takes to pull it off had I not been there to see
To
what
pull the
it
hog off
truly
or pull
takes
the whole opening off?
to pull the grand opening off at the level he did. It was unbelievable. Hats off to him. And one kind of side note on that deal that I thought was so cool, Tootsie was the
I was
first.
gonna.
Tootsie was like the first one there. I mean, she was there at, I don't remember what time all the festivities started. I think it was around 11 or so. And I mean, she was there at like 9 or 9:15,
How
and
great is
she
that?
stayed the whole time. She was there, pretty much until the very end.
What is it's just another special human, a special person.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. So, and it was crazy because, me and my dad had drove down there to Lexington 4 or 5 times now to eat at Snow's for breakfast. We'll leave here on a Friday. It's about a 12-hour drive. So if we get out of here by about 7 p.m., we can make it around 7 a.m. And it was crazy because I've asked her like so many questions before, and she's always been so generous and knowledgeable. And then she comes to Brett's, and I'm cooking this whole hog, and she asked me like, I don't even remember what she asked me. I was so like in awe, like, holy cow, this woman's asking me questions about barbecue. Like, I don't know what to say. She knows
Oh, that's
so
hilarious.
much more than I could ever hope to know. So it was just a really humbling experience. But to be with Brett, to see what it takes to pull it off. I'm really good friends with Steven Rossler. We talk once a week or so. He's
Such a
kind of in,
great guy.
yeah, he's in the process of getting his thing going. He's got a year or so, year and a half left in the Army, and then I can't wait to see what he's gonna do. Will and Nicole Buckman, I mean,
Gosh, another two great.
Corkscrew is unbelievable.
I think you know what's funny is even though they're in like the top 10, they're still super underrated, I think.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, I kind of had that in my head too. I don't know why, and then
They're
I
so
just went
consistent.
there, and it just blew my socks off. And I mean, the type of people they are, and to know that they started all of that with a couple young children has been just so inspirational to me, thinking like, man, they did this and had a family too, So just rubbing elbows from time to time with people like that, it's just been so inspiring, and I owe a lot of people a lot of things that have helped me get to this point, so.
No, but it sounds like it's getting closer to like would you from where you're going with the brewery, do you eventually see yourself with your own brick and mortar, or is that, or do
I
you think
think
this
down the
might be?
line, that could be the goal. Really, we just kind of want to offer something that's not here. There is a lot of great product here and a lot of different things, but there's not a lot of places for say that are making really good different sausages in-house and doing pastrami or whole hogs. So yeah, wherever I feel like I can be to offer Kansas City something
You
that
just want to
doesn't
be able to
currently
provide
exist.
that.
Yeah, and that's tough to do, like I said, because there is so much great stuff that does exist here. But I've been to every barbecue restaurant in the city. I think total, I'm somewhere around 100, and I don't know the number. I think there's about 80 or so active right now at this very moment.
If you were just kind of to end this a little bit, like, because we're at 49 minutes, and you know people are kind of
Oh.
crazy, but no, it's great. I love it. I could talk for another hour, or 2 hours,
Yeah, I'm the
and
same
I hope
way.
to, and maybe we could do a part two. But if someone was coming into town, where would you take them?
So to me, I love the Jones sisters and what they're doing. They're kind of a blend, actually, of almost like traditional Kansas City barbecue and craft barbecue in the sense that they do, I guess if I had to word what they do, it would be small batch traditional Kansas City barbecue.
Okay.
I really like what those ladies are doing over there, and they're very positive and very just,
Yeah, I
you know,
watched a
helpful
video
with
with
their
them
time.
recently. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I also like BB's Lawnside Barbecue here in town for a multitude of reasons. They, you know, that's a homage to, it's a homage to Black history here in Kansas City. It's a homage to music history here in Kansas City, and it's even a homage to the mobster scene here in Kansas City. As crazy as that is,
That's
this
awesome.
BB's, it used to be an old mobster hangout, and there was tons of shootouts and different crazy things in this parking lot. And the pit was built in the 1930s. So between all that, I really like that place. And then there's a guy over here on the east side, Brandon Simpson at Jazzy B's. He's
I've heard
cooking on
great
a,
things.
yeah, he's cooking on a stick burner, and he's kind of doing his own little flair, and that's another spot out. And then there's Scott's Hangar, which he's kind of the new guy on the scene. He's right up by the airport, so if you come to Kansas City, that's worth your stop there.
When I talked to Jill Silva, she had mentioned that's her first stop when she tells people.
Is Scott's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess
He's,
maybe because you come from the airport, maybe. Does that make sense?
yeah, it's literally just a few minutes away from the airport, and he takes a lot of pride in the way he serves his food and what he's putting out, and he's off the competition scene, but he's a really good guy, and I'm really rooting for him. I think they'll succeed there, so.
That's great. And what you're doing, I think that you probably won't be the only one eventually, like 3, 4 years down the people are going to look at what you're doing and think, I want to provide that too in my own
Well,
twist.
it's kind of funny you say that because there's actually already three guys that come over right now that I've taught how to trim briskets and do different things. You know, those classes, there's a lot of barbecue classes going on in Kansas City right now, and I understand that everybody has to make their money, but I was kind of like, I've been around so many good, fortunate people that have taught me so much skill. And to me, good barbecue, that's an old thing that Zach Parker taught me, that Pat Martin taught him, was, people that have secrets ain't shit. That's a Pat Martin quote there, I believe.
It is. Or
And
there's
so
also
my
Billy
thing,
Dur Billy Dirty says, like, secrets are for suckers. I think that I love that one too.
yeah. So my thing was, there's these guys on Instagram that want to learn how to cook my brisket, and honestly, there's one guy on there that he has more smoker. He has 500 gallons. So he has means to produce more barbecue than I do, but he's a great guy, and we talk barbecue all the time. But I just want to show people what I've learned, so that way, hopefully, the scene in Kansas City can just continue to grow and get even stronger. So,
It can't hurt you by having a bunch of people doing good food. Like it's,
and
I've
that's the
a
way I look at it. There's so much scenery here, and there's so much of a market that we're not going to step on each other's toes.
Yeah,
It's
and
just,
people will come because they'll love what you're doing. And it sounds like I don't think everyone's gonna do the scratch made sausage and the Texas brisket and the West Tennessee whole hog. Like it's not gonna be
yeah,
something.
I've put together a formula that's, it's going to be hard to trace my blueprint, and if anybody wants to do anything better than I do, I respect that because I
For
know how
sure.
much work goes into what I do. So if people want to come and put in more work than I have or I'm willing to do, then hats off to them, and I can't wait to eat their barbecue because I love eating other people's barbecue.
Yeah.
So
Well, look at too what we talked about Franklin. And Franklin, a lot of people, even across the country, look at Franklin as the best or the best. But we talked about a bunch of the old school joints and things in there. And so there's so many things to offer. Like Texas could have another 50, 60 amazing places, and I think people would still go.
exactly. No one is stepping on each other's toes there. So, I'm so confident in what Kansas City is going to be bringing to the table that I just
I'm
look at it
excited.
as it's a great opportunity for us to make our tradition even stronger. So
Well,
I'm
I'm
happy.
happy, and I used to that Kansas City Royals hat. I grew up wearing a Kansas City Royals hat, and I have relatives that that are from Kansas City, like family friends and relatives. And my first taste of real barbecue in my mind, my friend sent me I think it was Arthur Bryant's. He sent me like an igloo cooler, and we opened it up, and the meat was in the white bread, and it was the strangest thing to these kids from Los Angeles. We thought, what the hell are we getting? And it was so good, and it was so
no,
different.
I grew up on Arthur Bryant, so I can appreciate that. I still love their kind of vinegary, harsher style
it
sauce.
Was so good. It was, but yeah. It made me realize, like, wait, there's different. And then I would go to business in North Carolina, and I go to Lexington Barbecue and Stamey's, and I thought, wait, this there's so much to offer across the United States.
Right. And man, I can't wait to keep traveling, keep growing, keep learning. I can't wait to go to hometown. I can't wait to go to Hoodoo up in Connecticut. I've got so much more learning to do.
So much.
You know, Adamson in Toronto. I just know that the more learning and the more expanding, the more we're going to be able to bring to the table. So I'm just looking forward to that.
Well, I'm really excited for you, and I'm super excited. And I'm going to bug you for some also for some tips for who to contact in Kansas City, because I want to really cover all the regions. Like, I know there's guys doing Texas. Like, I love Texas, and I'm friends with so many people there. But mm-hmm. I want people to see Kansas City and North and South Carolina and Georgia. I want them to understand how important barbecue is across the country. So
yeah. It's so different in every place.
So I'm going to keep, but like we've talked about a few places, and those are places that are on my list to reach out, but I'm going to bug you for other ones too.
You're more than welcome. I appreciate your time, and thank you for everything you've done. Like I said, you put a lot of good knowledge in one spot and made it easier for people
I'm trying. I love it. So I hope I'm like, it makes me excited to talk to someone like you, because we've been friends online, and your passion shows, and I'm hoping to promote you more, because I love promoting my friends.
I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. So we'll just try to keep working hard on our end to give you something proud to promote. So
thank you. Yeah, I can't wait to meet you in person and eat your barbecue, and maybe we'll meet up in Texas too.
Looking forward to it, Kevin. We'll stay in touch.
Hey, have a great evening. Thank you so much.
All right, you too. Cool.
You know what's too funny is the next one. Did I tell you the next one that's going up? Either I think it's like tomorrow night is Stevens, Rossler's.
Oh, yeah.
And then it'll be like Thursday or Friday. So it's just funny that it's like...
Yeah, Steven's an awesome dude, and he's somebody I consider a good friend now.
He's such a great guy. His was extremely heartfelt and very personal and just really great.
I'm super, super excited to hear it, because, you know, him and I, we don't really get into a lot of the deep conversations. And so he's... But, you know, we just bond over barbecue and, you know...
Yeah, same with me.
Yeah, but I always kind of thought, well, if he ever wanted to bring that up, then I'll let him talk about that. But, you know, I never asked anything about it. But yeah, man, he's such a great guy. And, man, I'm excited for him. I think he's got, just over a year left?
Yeah, just about. So
I'm ready for him to get out. And it's been an awesome journey, because, you know, he's been somewhat on, you know, my level or a little bit ahead of mm-hmm. me or around where I am. And so we've kind of... Him and I, we always bounce questions off each other and recipes sometimes. And then, you know, he's really good friends with Brett Bourne, mm-hmm. who's come before us. And so.
Yeah, there's a little road of people that have kind of slowly been able to break through and do what they want to do. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's good to be a part with them. And if we're just going to jump in or whatever, too. But. But Brett links to where I'm at now too, and something cool. I didn't discuss earlier too, kind of. So
essentially, we wanted to talk because there's some news since we last spoke, and we're about to launch the interview. So, what's going on?
Yeah, so I think we had talked briefly about getting open, hopefully, in a brewery here in town, mm-hmm. and we were able to hammer that out. And I'm really super excited about it. It's ironic. It's almost like a really small town feel, but it's in the biggest city next to Kansas City. It's called Raytown, and it's just here on the east side of Kansas City. And it's about
congratulations. 30... First off, that's awesome.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you. No, I appreciate it. So we're gonna start actually in 3 days from now. We're gonna start Saturday.
Oh my Lord. So how is this all going? Because is it something that's going to be built? Two?
Yeah.
Is there something additional? I've read from your post, but I kind of didn't want to read too much because I wanted to learn more from you.
Yeah, so we the plan is we're going to build out a permanent our kitchen there in the brewery. We're going to go ahead and start with that Saturday. And like I said, it's a really unique city. It's hard to even describe because it's the east side touches Kansas City, but just a real small pocket. It's about 30,000 people, and it's been overlooked by a lot of people here. And it's really just left a void, and it's almost a community feel, but you have the direct connection to Kansas City as well.
That's perfect.
So I really like that a lot. And that was kind of something that, honestly, the last couple of weeks, I've been just, I always try to pay attention to everything in the barbecue world.
Yes, I
But,
do.
absolutely. You do. Yeah, you do a good job of it
Oh,
too.
thank you. I try my best.
Well, so Brett Bourne, I consider him, a mentor of mine, and I got to go to his grand opening, like we talked about earlier, and help him with that. And it was in a real tiny town. And I know just a month or 6 weeks ago, Luis Vasquez from Louis Barbecue, Brett had kind of encouraged Luis to go out to Buda, I believe south of Austin, can kind of a smaller town feel.
Yeah, exactly. It made sense. I might it makes sense now.
And so I know he's been in at least one, possibly two Texas Monthly articles since he moved out to Buda.
For sure.
He seems to be gaining his traction down there. And so that was something I was really like, man, they're a whole state. How can they, they have, basically a small country down there of cities to pick from to go
Essentially.
open. And, I've always remained adamant about remaining in Missouri and remaining as close to Kansas City as possible, just because this is, it's just made such a big impact on my life. So I want to stay here. But I wanted that small town community feel that they were getting and that they were talking about. And so I think that's going to be, we've already got the city of Raytown super, super excited. We've
Yeah, I
been
was gonna
posting.
say, what are they thinking? Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, they're stoked. They're stoked. I've posted on there. They have a Facebook page that I've posted a few pictures on, and yeah, people are going nuts. And the mayor's excited. The Chamber of Commerce is excited. So it's cool because we kind of,
The mayor, that's awesome.
yeah. And he, the mayor's actually going to be there Saturday.
So this is the 16th, right? Is that Saturday the 16th? Is that?
Yeah, and
Okay.
so we're going to run the 16th and the 17th for St. Patrick's Day. This will be our first weekend.
Nice.
But it's awesome because I wanted to have the small town feel because I did realize the importance of bringing something to a community that people could be proud of.
And also they can, they could also wrap their arms around you and watch you grow, and that's important to people, yeah.
And especially with barbecue, it's hard to do that in Kansas City because again, there's 90 or so active
For
restaurants.
sure.
So to find a pocket where there's nothing is virtually insane. But it happened, and there was one guy, real small. He was cooking in Raytown for the past 5 or 6 years, and he ended up going under, I believe, and he's not cooking anymore. And so for the last year or two, they've just really been deprived. And I started following this Raytown group, and people were just asking about barbecue, barbecue. What's the best barbecue close to Raytown? How, you know? And somebody would post about barbecue, and it would have 100 comments within a few hours, because everybody had an opinion.
Of course.
If you're in Raytown, on where you should go for barbecue. So, finally the stars just kind of aligned, and I thought, when the brewery first reached out to me, it all made sense from the very beginning. I went to a pop-up at the brewery back in August, and when I was then there, I thought it was the perfect place for me. But the guy that owned it, he did some barbecue and stuff,
Oh, okay.
so I didn't want to approach him. I was just like, he's doing his thing. I'm just gonna let him do his thing. This is his place. He has probably no interest in me. So actually, it turned out I've hired a guy to make my sauce. He kind of makes all kinds of different hot sauces and condiments, and he made us some really good sauces. And him and I met one night, and he ended up going to this brewery, and they had kind of basically said that they want to find somebody to put a kitchen in their brewery and operate. And the guy that makes my sauce, Chris, we had just talked about, I was telling him, I was like, I'm looking for a bar with a kitchen they don't use
It's so
because I
crazy.
want to go in there. But a brewery is 10 times better than a kitchen.
Oh, without a doubt.
And so they've actually been taking on some national accolades recently for their beer.
I don't think you mentioned the name of the brewery for.
Yeah, it's Crane Brewing Company. It's in Raytown, and they've been getting some national traction recently.
I heard of them prior to your post.
Yeah, and so they're the second largest distributor of beer in Kansas City now behind Boulevard.
Crazy.
But no, they do really, really good work and just take a lot of pride in their product, and it's very well thought out and thought through. And Our business morals just kind of aligned, and we met, and we were talking a lot of brisket and different ideas. And actually, what was funny is one of the partners from the brewery, the guy that owns the building. So we're talking about brisket and, you know, all this barbecue under the sun. And then kind of there towards the end, I happened to bring up the whole hog from Scott's Barbecue. Well, the guy that owns the building and is the main partner in the brewery, he grew up in Jackson, Tennessee.
Oh, man.
He went to the Tennessee River a couple times a summer as a boy. And every time that his family would go to the Tennessee River, they would stop at Scott's Barbecue.
Oh, that's so great.
So it was just...
It's all meant to be. It feels very like stars align kind of stuff.
I mean, what are the odds of that? And so,
very rare.
Zach was one of the first people I called when we got the deal done. And Zach was super stoked for me. And I told him, the guy grew up eating your dad's barbecue. And it was just, it's insane how it all works out. But
what's your schedule then? Are you going to be just weekends at first or?
Yeah. So I'm going to keep working. We're going to just start off on Saturdays. We're going to miss one in April. I'm going down to work Fort Worth Food and Wine Fest with Trevor from Brick's Barbecue.
Nice.
So they're
That'll
there.
Be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'm really excited for it. And so that'll be the first weekend in April. We're going to go do that. And then we're going to operate on Saturdays after that.
Okay.
Until May. I'm going to cook with Matt Horn in San Francisco towards the end of May, I believe.
Another one. Great.
Yeah. And so, and then we're going to be back here and just grind our face off until we make something happen. So.
And when do you do you think it's 2020 for the build out?
It's possible. It could be this year. We've got to kind of get the city to work with us on a couple things. But they're willing. And I think, like I said, they're real excited over there. It's stuff of, there's some renovations going on around the brewery right now because they're putting in a trailhead to this trail that runs from St. Louis to Kansas City. It's a big expansion and renovation deal.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, we're kind of trying to, they're doing, going to be good doing construction and we're going to be doing construction. So really it's kind of aligning that
gotcha.
More than anything. So
what kind of menu can people look for? Because people that are watching this are probably people that are curious, what's he going to be serving?
Yeah, so we're going to start this first pop-up is going to – or this weekend, these two are going to be really small. We're going to do pulled pork. We're going to do ribs, brisket. We're going to do house-made pickles. We'll have Ruben from Caramello there. He's going to be making tacos.
Oh, cool.
And then we'll do – we're going to have our slaw, which is a green apple jalapeno cilantro slaw.
Oh, nice, nice, nice.
And we're going to do cheesy corn. And then I'm still in the air on if I'm going to do beans or not.
Okay.
And I mean, you obviously have to do beans with barbecue. I get that. But with our condition right now, I can't make the beans from scratch. And I don't want to just pour something out of a can in and heat it up. So,
yeah. Fair enough. That makes sense.
I'm kind of like, if you can't do it right, then just pass until you can. So
I think there's plenty of time to do beans. I think that
you're
offering, especially with something so rich like the cheesy corn, it'll be perfect.
Right, yeah, so I think I'm just going to stick with that. It'll take some stress away from me to get through these and kind of understand where we are. And I have absolutely zero clue what to expect. So I feel like I'm going to cook a solid amount. And if it sells, it sells. And if not, then there's plenty of people that need food. So we'll get it out one way or the other. So that's kind of what we do. And honestly, when we started, we were just giving food away for so long. That's what we did. So,
how do you feel, Alex? This is exciting. How do you feel? I'm sure you're a little bit nervous, but excited.
Yeah,
nervous, right?
I'm finally. So today's Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. So I'm going to start doing a little prepping tomorrow. So once I get there and I'm back doing what I'm doing, I've been spending most of this year doing business stuff. And that's not what I'm good at. So it's honestly just going to be nice to just get back to doing what I know how to do.
Yeah, that's where you're comfortable. Your
sweet
spot. Yeah,
we've been getting Arctic blasts up here, is what they're calling them. So, or no, polar vortexes. That's what they're using. So Kansas City's been a tough spot this winter, so we've just laid low and focused on what we're going to do this spring and summer, and that's kind of what led us to this. So
And
it
it'll
was
be a
a
nice, like it's almost like that's like the birth of what you're doing. It's thought it'll be thawing out, and you'll be gaining
yeah.
momentum into your
Yep, I think it's
projects.
going to be 60 degrees Saturday. So for here, we know we've been
Perfect.
in the 20s and 30s. So yeah, it's going to be pretty nice. And yeah, hopefully everything's coming alive. There's another spot getting ready to open here in April. So there's some newer things going on in Kansas City Barbecue. I think it's an exciting time here. So
And what time can people come?
we're going to start at noon
Okay.
and we're going to roll till we sell out. And I mean, I think there's probably going to be a line. I think there'll be quite a few people. I think, I don't know. You just have to see. I'm
That's too
excited
cool.
though.
So exciting. And the brewery, are you guys going to eventually maybe do some like extra stuff like during the week eventually? Like it's kind of tough with an offset, but maybe they might have some special events maybe or
I think, I think they want to expand, and obviously I want to, and so it's kind of a matter of just step by step, and
Yeah.
hopefully it'll just grow. And I know for sure that we're going to plan on taking on some pretty decent caterings now that we have the means to do that.
Yeah.
So we're going to do more catering to float us in the beginning, because we got a lot of stuff to buy, so those caterings really help. So
How far away are you from downtown for people to get out there?
I would guess right about 20 minutes or
Okay.
so. We're just right on the east side of the city at 63rd and Raytown Road.
Okay.
So there's a couple big neighborhoods, Westport and Waldo, that are kind of on the south side of the city, and we're pretty much straight east from those little parts of the town. So
Wow, Raytown, that's exciting. Like imagine, like it's
yeah.
you're gonna have to put Raytown on the map, like in your
Yeah,
own
I know.
special
I'm
way.
super excited. We're gonna think incorporating the logo, and
Yeah, I was thinking that. That's what I was thinking.
it's just they deserve something good there. They've been wanting something good for a long time, and we're excited to have the chance to bring it to them, and I think they're gonna love it. So
Well, excellent. Well, I'm glad we got to do this because I wanted to add that because I want these to be as current as possible. And with life that goes on, it's kind of difficult
yeah,
to edit.
especially in this world, everything is just it's changing quickly. So yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on, Kevin.
No, and thank you. And hopefully, like in a month or two, let's revisit. Do like a ten
We'll
minutes
plan
with, and we
for
can kind of
after.
talk about like your experience because this is good for people too who want to do what you do.
I want to share what I'm going through, and because I'm going to make a lot of mistakes, so hopefully other people can learn from that. So
Well, excellent. Well, yeah, as long as you fail forward, isn't that
that's always the goal,
the
just do better next week. So that's always just kind of been our motto. So just get a little better every week, or now it's going to be every day, hopefully soon. But
Exactly. I can't wait. Well, excellent. I can't wait to visit you. But yeah, good luck this weekend. I will get this done as soon as possible and try to get it out before the weekend so that way we could promote your thing.
awesome. I appreciate it, Kevin.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Yep, have a good night.
Have a great night.
Seen some of that happen in Arkansas.